Today we are celebrating the start of the season of Lent. Lent originally lasted for 36 days. It was introduced by Pope Felix III way back in the 4th century, when there was only one Christian church in the world. It was introduced as a time of penitence and preparation before the jubilation of Easter. In the year 487, there were 4 days added to Lent to link it with the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting and being tempted in the wilderness. And in Western Christianity, Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. So it started Wednesday of last week. In some churches, they burn ashes, sometimes made by burning palm crosses that have been made the previous Easter, the previous Palm Sunday. And they place ash on the heads of believers as a sign of penitence, making the connection with Jesus' conscious decision to turn his face to Jerusalem and to go to his death. I suppose that self-denial is the name of the game in Lent. We often think of Lent as a time to give something up, to deny ourselves something, so that we can concentrate on God. And our service today, I hope, will help us all, young and old, to understand what Lent is about and to help us to enter this season of penitence in a positive way, to prepare for the events of Holy Week. There's no getting away from the fact that Lent is about self-denial, but who said that that couldn't be a bit of fun? At least we're no longer pilloried and locked in stocks with rotten vegetables and fruits thrown at us simply for breaking the Lenten fast, as we would have been in Tudor and Stuart times here in Scotland. And perhaps it's more helpful for us today to think of Lent as a time of prayer, as a time of giving, as well as a time of fasting. We're going to hear part of the Gospel story just now. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find it in the pew Bibles.
Temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone." The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Thank you very much. Well, we've heard that reading, and I'd like us to look at the screen in just a moment and listen to some music. And as you look at the screen, there's a series of 40 pictures celebrating the 40 days of Lent. And as you look at the pictures, which are black and white, occasionally you'll see some bits of colour, some bits of red colour. And you have a think of what the things are shown in red as you see these pictures. And listen to the singing as well. Well, did you see the things in red? Did you just catch sight of them? What did you see? Who thinks they saw something?
Yeah.
A devil. Yeah. The devil there appearing before Jesus, that's right. What else? What was slithering along the ground? There was a snake, right? And there was a scene just before the snake, and Jesus was looking up at a tree. There was something hanging on the tree. What did he say? An apple, yeah. Where? What story do we know that has apples and a snake and the devil in it? What story do we know with apple and or fruits and snakes? Yeah. Yeah, the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Right at the start of the Bible. There's a story. God creates this beautiful garden, this beautiful world, and says to Adam and to Eve, who he's created, he says to them, you two are helpers for each other. And you can have anything in this garden at all, except one thing. Except the fruit on this tree. And of course, the story tells us that Eve first and then Adam were tempted by a serpent to eat the forbidden fruit. And Eve took it and gave it to Adam, and Adam knew where it came from, and he took it as well. And they broke what God had asked them to do. God had said, don't eat of the one tree, you can have anything else, but don't eat from that one tree. And of course they ate from that one tree. And things started to go wrong, because they disobeyed God and they had done things that were not according to God's plan and God's purpose for them. And they spoiled not just themselves, but they spoiled the whole world. Everything was spoiled because they did something wrong. And of course the serpent on the ground was the devil. The devil tempting them to disobey God. And here in these pictures that we've just seen, when Jesus said, for my 30th birthday, I decided to get away from it all, it really tells us the story of Jesus in the wilderness, after he'd been baptized, going into the desert for 40 days to really pray and to think and to seek clarity as to what was going to happen to him in the future. And during that time, the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted by the devil. Maybe the devil appeared as a snake. Maybe he saw some fruit. The devil certainly tempted him with things. Can you remember what was in the story that was read and what you saw? What did the devil try to tempt Jesus with? He held something out to him in one of the pictures. Yeah. A rock. And yeah, that's right. He held out a rock and he said, if you're really the Son of God, the devil knew Jesus was God. But he said, if you're really, then turn this rock into bread and eat it. And Jesus must have been very hungry, and he must have been tempted to do it, but he didn't. He didn't, because he knew it was wrong. And the devil, where did the devil take him? Took him someplace so they could see the city. Where did he take him? Yeah. The highest point, that's right. And there was a picture there in that presentation of the devil taking Jesus up very high. And he said, all of this can be yours. Now, all of that was already Jesus's. But the devil tried to con him and said, I'll make you think it's mine and I'll make you think I'm giving it to you. But Jesus said, no, not doing that. And he said to the devil, it's wrong. Remember, there was a sign, a picture where he puts his hand up and shields himself from the devil, tells the devil to go away. He says, go away, it's wrong. I'm not going to be tempted by your lies and by the things that you're trying to deceive me with. They're wrong. And we've not to put the Lord our God to the test, Scripture says. And Jesus kept turning again and again and again to what the Bible says about God, because the Bible tells us all about God. And Jesus turned to the Bible and said, I'm not going to believe you. The Word of God says this. I'm not going to believe your lies. Well, we've been sitting for quite a while now, so I thought we could sing. Are you good at repeating things? You are. Excellent. Excellent. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do something that involves repeating. And I've lost the words. must have had them someplace. They're in the order of service there. And, oh, here they are. And this is a repeating song. And it's a bit like, you've maybe seen soldiers marching. And they have chants. We are going for a walk. And then they repeat, we are going for a walk. We're going to walk right round the clock. We're going to walk right round the clock. And they do these kind of repeating things. Probably don't sing that, but sing words like that. This song is a bit like that, and you'll see the words here. We don't believe the devil's lie. We don't believe the devil's lie. We will shout our battle cry. We will shout our battle cry. Though we may be very small, though we may be very small, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And then a chorus. He's good for me. He's good for me. He's good for you. He's good for you. He's good for me. He's good for me. Good for our whole church. You think you'd be able to do that? There's a kind of drum beat and a kind of song, kind of tune that we could sing that to. So we could stand up, pretend you're marching, and we'll get the words on the screen. We don't believe the devil's lie. And here comes the tune. Here we go. We don't believe the devil's lie. We don't believe the devil's lie. We will shout our battle cry. We will shout our battle cry. Though we may be very small, though we may be very small, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He's good for me. He's good for me. He's good for you. Good for you. He's good for me. He's good for me. Good for our whole church. When temptation comes our way, this is what we're gonna say. Don't you come and mess with me. In Jesus' name, our victory. In Jesus' name, our victory. In Jesus' name, our victory. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of everything. If Satan comes, here's what we'll say. In Jesus' name, now go away. In Jesus' name, now go away. Now go away. In Jesus' name. Great. We don't believe the devil's lie. We will shout our battle cry. We do just what Jesus did. Tell the devil, now go away in Jesus' name. So when temptations come to us, when we're tempted to do things that we know are not right, then we just say, now go away in Jesus' name. And if we try hard and if we trust in God, God will give us the opportunity to not do these things. Let's go on a wee bit in the story. And think some more about Lent and this time when we think of Jesus out in the desert being tempted. In medieval times, long time ago, Lent was very, very strictly observed in Western Europe, in this country as well. And there were things people didn't do, a bit like giving up things now. People didn't eat meat. How many of you enjoy eating meat? Well, people in Lent didn't eat meat. So we can't eat meat. What else could we eat if we weren't eating meat? What could we eat? Fish. We might think, well, I'm not going to eat meat. I could eat fish. Actually, they didn't eat fish either during Lent. No meat, no fish. So there's no meat, no fish. What else could we, what could we eat? Bread, yes. You could eat bread. Yes, they allowed bread. Mm-hmm. I don't think potatoes had been found then, or maybe they hadn't worked out how to make them into chips. Yeah. Eggs. Well, eggs are delicious, aren't they? Except they didn't eat eggs either. Because eggs are called part of dairy produce. What else is a dairy product? Yeah, right in the back. Milk. Yep, milk. What else?
Yogurt.
Yogurt. Yes, yogurt. Well, they probably had yogurt then. I'm sure a lot of the milk would have gone off and turned to yogurt. Yep. Well, that's not a dairy product, and yeah, they might have had strawberries in this country, yeah. Yeah. Cheese, yeah. So no meat. This is your diet for Lent, folks. No meat. No fish. No eggs, milk, cheese, yogurt. It's a pretty basic diet, isn't it? What are you left with? Bread. Bread. Remember what Jesus said? Man cannot live by bread alone. Well, Lent was a very difficult time. Now, I wonder this morning, has anybody here given up something for Lent? Has anybody given up something for Lent? What have you given up?
Chocolate.
You've given up chocolate. Is that difficult? It is, yeah. Yeah. I would feel miserably if I was giving up chocolate, because I had chocolate for breakfast this morning. At least chocolate spread. Right. What are you giving up? You're giving up your mobile phone. Oh, is that difficult? That's very difficult sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. Fizzy drinks. Well, fizzy drinks are a good thing to give up because they can damage your teeth, so that's quite a good thing to give up for a while. Your iPods. So you're not listening to music on your iPods during Lent. You can sing songs in your head, can't you? Yeah. Right. Crisps. Yeah, crisps are a great thing to give up. Says he who had his first bag in a while yesterday. And they were lovely. Crisps are lovely, but they're very fatty. Right. Anything else that you're giving up? We give things up in Lent, and sometimes it's a good time, and people sometimes say, well, I'm going to stop doing this, or I'll give up, if you're grown up, maybe give up drinking alcohol for Lent, and that's quite a good thing, because it detoxes your body. It can be a good thing as well to sometimes give things up. You don't want to give things up too much. You certainly don't want to give up eating. That would be a very, very dangerous thing to do during Lent. We heard the story just recently of the man who was trapped in his car since Christmas time, and it was only just found last week, and his car had been buried in the snow, and he hadn't eaten anything in all that time, and he was very, very, very ill. And that got me thinking, Jesus must have been very, very weakened by 40 days in the wilderness where he was just thinking and praying and listening to God and not eating terribly much at all. Well, I've got my calendar here this morning. This is a very special calendar. This calendar was given to me, or given to our family, at Christmas time by my niece Ella. And it's full of pictures of Ella and some other members of our family. There we are. There's Ella and Ruth, for instance. But I've marked on this calendar the period of Lent. Do you see this bit that's marked in orange? That's the days of Lent. Now, would somebody like to count these days of Lent for us? Who's going to count? Well, we give it to the rainbows, and the rainbows can count. They're all in orange, so you need to turn the page, and you can look at Ella's picture as well. Right, count the days. Just start where it starts in orange. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8, and then turn it on to the next one. To March. 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, and turn the page. What's after 39? 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 47, 47. You must have counted wrong. It's only 40 days in Lent. What have you done wrong, rainbows? Who else is going to check this? There we are. This bit in orange. Count all the boxes of a yellow and orange line in them. See? Well, they're counting very quickly. Maybe they'll get it right. Lots of fast counting going on here. You turn the page again into April. How many?
40.
How many?
40.
40? And they got 47. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Now, I was counting with them, and I got 47 as well, and you've got 40. So why is there a difference? There are 40 days in Lent. There are 40 days in Lent. There's actually 47 days highlighted here. Why do you think there are 47 highlighted days on the calendar that are Lent days, but there's actually only 40 days in Lent? How can that be? How can that be? We don't count Sundays. Very good. We don't count Sundays. So you just count all the other days. We don't count the Sundays as days of Lent. Isn't that good news? Because Sunday is not really a Lent day. That means you can have your chocolate and your yogurts and your phone and your soup lunch after the service. Yeah, we don't count Sundays because Sundays are a celebration of the resurrection. Every Sunday is a celebration of Jesus' resurrection. So Sundays in Lent don't count as days of fasting and penitence. They're days of celebration. But all the other days, and you're quite right, there are 40. Although how you got 40 when there's 47 highlighted? Scouts, beaten by the rainbows, really. Yeah, there's 40 days in Lent. And the good news is we can have Sundays off. So if you're really desperate for a bit of chocolate, really desperate to make that phone call or listen to that song on your iPod, maybe on Sunday. So long as you're not tempted then to do it on the Monday. Because you need to go back to your 40 days of Lent. 40, of course, is a very important number. 40 is an important number in the church calendar and in the Christian calendar because the Bible has lots of things that talk about 40. 40 is a time that signifies a long period of time. Just like boys and girls, when you get to 40, people think you're very old. Well, you do if you're young. You do if you're young. What times in the Bible can we think of that were 40 long? There's lots of times in the Bible that were 40 somethings long. Wonder if you can think of some of them. Right, a couple of ideas over here. Yeah. 40 verses? It's 40 verses into lots of bits of the Bible. That's not what I'm thinking of, though. What are you thinking of? The person who led the slaves out of Egypt, Moses. Yeah, Moses leading the people of God out of captivity in Egypt towards their promised home. And how long did it take? It was a 40. Was it 40 days? Was it 40 months? Was it 40 weeks?
No.
What was it?
40 years.
40 years. 40 years. Going through the same kind of desert that Jesus must have been in for these 40 days when he was fasting and praying and listening for God. 40 years going through the desert. So there's an important 40. 40 years travelling. Whole generation. All the older people who left Egypt didn't get to the promised land because they were so disobedient. It was the younger people who got there. 40 years. There's another 40. That's exactly correct. Yeah, do you remember the story of Noah? Another time when people were being disobedient and God said, the whole world's being horrible and they're just not listening to me. They're not doing things that are good for themselves or good in their relationship with me. Noah, I want you to build a great big boat and I want you to take two of every kind of animal and a few more of other kinds of animal onto the boat, and I'm going to send rain and floods. And for 40 days and 40 nights it's going to rain, and everything's going to get wiped out and washed away and started all over again. And so it did. The rain started, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and then it stopped, and slowly, slowly the water began to go down, and eventually the ark came to a rest on Mount Ararat, and Noah and his family and the animals were able to get off, and God started all over again. So Noah, story of Noah's ark, 40 days and 40 nights. And incidentally, if you are in London or down in the south of England during the Olympics time this summer, you'll be able to go and see a full-size replica of Noah's Ark. There's a man bringing Noah's Ark up the River Thames, and you'll be able to go on it and see it, and there'll be all sorts of displays and animals and things on it as well. So that'll be a very exciting thing if you get the chance to go down to the River Thames to see that. So 40 years wandering the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. Another story of Moses. Do you remember the story where Moses went up? He left all the people down at the bottom of a hill, and Moses went up a mountain. And what did Moses get up at the top of the mountain? God gave him something. The Ten Commandments, the 10 good rules to live by. Yes. God gave Moses 10 commandments, and Moses was away for a long time. He was away for 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain, receiving the 10 rules for good living, 10 commandments that God gave to him to give to the people. And sadly, during that time, in the 40 days he was away, the people started forgetting all about God and doing their own thing again. And God had to remind them and punish them, and draw them back again and remind them of the things that were really important. So, yep, 40 years wandering the wilderness, 40 days and nights Moses up receiving 10 commandments on Mount Sinai, 40 days and nights of rain for Noah in his ark. Some people think Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, he was 40 hours lying in the cave, a bit like maybe like the cave we saw in that video a few minutes ago, 40 hours lying in the cave. But the Bible certainly tells us that Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness after his baptism. And here we see him being baptized in the River Jordan by John. And you'll remember that a voice was heard. Everybody heard a voice saying, "This is my son whom I love. I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him." And then Jesus went off so that he could listen to God for 40 days and 40 nights, during which he experienced all these temptations, just as we experience temptation. But you know, sometimes we give in to them, and the Bible says Jesus didn't give in to them. So during 40 days of Lent, not Sundays, well, on Sundays as well, but during the 40 days of Lent, we prepare ourselves for the celebration of Easter, and we reflect on the life and death of Jesus and what that means to us, and how Jesus might have felt as he took his final journey to Jerusalem, knowing that he would be sentenced to death on a cross. To help us to think about that, I've brought some pictures. Let me show you the first picture. They're all road signs. Now, I wonder if you know what these road sign pictures are. What do you think that sign is? The adults should know if they're drivers. Should know if you're a pedestrian as well. But what do you think that's a sign for? Yeah. It's not no entry. No, it's saying no something, but not no entry. Do you know?
Don't go this way.
It's not don't go this way, no. Oh, it's some at the back. No stopping or no waiting. Yeah. If you're driving in a car and you see a sign like this, it says no waiting. You're not allowed to stop at the side of the road and unload your granny as she goes to get a bus, or nip into the shops. You're not allowed to stop a car and wait. So no waiting. Is that right? Yep, there we are. No waiting. So you see that sign, no waiting. And I think this no waiting sign really sums up the age in which we live, because we don't like waiting for things, do we? We don't like waiting. And so people try all sorts of things to avoid waiting. Some of the grown-ups, maybe they buy lottery tickets in the National Lottery because they don't want to wait their whole life to have earned a lot of money or enough money. They can't wait, so they buy lottery tickets and try and win money. Or sometimes we buy things we can't afford. That's called buying on credit, and we haven't really got the money for it, and we have to take out loans because we can't wait to have the latest iPod or the latest bar of chocolate or something. We buy things on credit. And sometimes people want to be famous so quickly that they queue up for days and hours to audition for the X Factor, don't they? Or for American Idol in America, because they think that will be the fast track, that will be the easy road to success, or easier than working hard for lots and lots of time. So we try to get things quickly. We're not prepared to wait. So the no waiting sign helps me to think about that. And it helps me to think about how Jesus had been waiting. He'd been waiting for 30 years. He'd been waiting 30 years to be baptized by John and to begin his public ministry. And in the wilderness now he waited for food for 40 days. I wonder how long you've ever gone without eating. Maybe a day. Maybe a couple of days if you've been unwell. Maybe you've not had much to eat. But 40 days, very, very dangerous. And yet Jesus waited for 40 days. And he had to wait all this time. And he would have been very, at the end of it, very physically weak. Maybe you saw in the pictures in the song that we were looking at how angels came down and angels lifted him up at the end of the 40 days and helped him. And they must have helped him to get somewhere where he could be nursed back to health. And towards the end of that time, when he was being tempted, when he was at his weakest, that's when he was tempted. When he was at his weakest, the devil came to him. And you know, when Jesus was tempted after all this period of waiting, Jesus was tempted by the devil, and the devil wanted Jesus to do this. What's that sign? Shout it out. Give way. Yeah, the devil wanted Jesus to give way. Now we see these signs when we come to junctions and you have to pause to watch out for traffic coming if you're in a vehicle. But the devil wanted Jesus to give way. He wanted to tempt Jesus by getting him to trust in his own power, his own human power, and not in God's power. He wanted to tempt Jesus with power in exchange for worship. He said, if you'll only do this, if you'll bow down and worship me, the devil, then I will give you all the things you can see. I'll give you everything you want if you'll only bow down and worship me. And really it should have been the other way about, because Jesus was God and the devil should have been worshipping Jesus. And the devil tempted Jesus to test God, to test God's patience. These temptations of trusting in ourselves and not in God, of seeking power, of worshipping false gods, things that are not God, of testing God, they're all temptations that we face today, still, same temptations. And the Bible says Jesus resisted these temptations of the devil, confirming his calling as God's Messiah, the promised one, confirming in his identification with human beings that was also shown at his baptism when he was baptized in the River Jordan. Jesus trusted God. He trusted that God would provide for him, and he trusted in God's word, the Bible, that he knew so well. And so he rejected. He said, go away, devil. Go away. He rejected the desire for apparently painless gain, which the devil offers, which really costs. When we're offered something that seems too good to be true, it is. Usually. And the devil was offering something that seemed to have no cost, but really had a tremendous big cost. Jesus bowing down before the devil. And so Jesus rejected the devil, because if he'd given in, if he'd given way, as the sign says, he could not have earned our salvation by offering himself as a sinless sacrifice, dying on the cross. Jesus rejected the temptations of the devil because he knew there was only, what's that sign? What is one way? Jesus knew there was only one way. And there's a one way sign, the white arrow in the blue background. Jesus knew the right way. Why did he know the right way? Because he knew the Bible. He knew what God had written in his word. He read it and memorized it. He held it in his heart, in his mind. And every time the devil tried to tempt him with something, Jesus said, but it is written. And he told the devil what God had to say about things. Now, I think the fact that Jesus was tempted, even Jesus was tempted, shows us that it's not wrong for us to be tempted. Temptations come to us all the time. Temptations from outside us come all the time. But the way Jesus rejected temptation with Scripture, even when the devil started saying, the Bible really says, and started trying to twist Scripture the way that some people do today, Jesus said, the Bible says, God says in his word. Jesus knew what the Bible really said. And I think these verses of the Bible that we read are important for us because they help us to resist temptation in the same way as Jesus did. He knew the one way was God's way. There was an American poet called Waldo Emerson who once wrote, "We gain the strength of the temptation we resist." Think about that for a minute. We gain the strength of the temptation we resist. If we're tempted to do something and we ask God to help us, then God makes us that bit stronger. Whatever the strength of that temptation, God makes us that bit stronger. Or John Bunyan, the man who wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress, which is a story about how you become a Christian and all about the Christian life. John Bunyan says, "Temptation provokes me to look upward to God." So when temptation came to John Bunyan, he looked to God and got strength from God. There was a famous preacher, R.H. Stewart, who said, "The whole effort, the object of temptation, is to induce us to substitute something else for God. It's to obscure God, to hide God from us, from our lives." Listen to what the Apostle Paul says, one short verse in the Bible. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And the Apostle Paul says this, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to every man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it." So there's an example there that we should also go the one way, God's way. Follow the example of Jesus and resist temptation. Do you know, this whole period of 40 days and 40 nights when Jesus was in the wilderness thinking, praying, being tempted by the devil, it really was for Jesus what's that symbol? What does that tell us? It's a crossroads, isn't it? The main road's going on, but there's another road going across the main road. So it's a warning symbol that there's a crossroads. And this whole time in the wilderness for Jesus, the 40 days and nights, was a crossroads, especially the temptation time that Jesus faced when he resisted the devil's temptations, drawing on God's power. The whole incident was a crossroads. It was an important point in the journey of Jesus to the cross as well. You remember we, a few minutes ago, saw the no waiting sign? Well, Jesus would wait another 3 years. 3 years in which he taught people all about God, in which he healed people who were ill, in which he cast out spirits and demons that were hurting, damaging people. 3 years in which he raised the dead back to life. 3 years in which he walked on water. 3 years in which, when the disciples were in a boat in a storm, Jesus was woken up and he spoke and calmed the storm, just the way as he spoke and created everything in Genesis. 3 years in which he went to a wedding where the wine had run out and he turned water into wine. And where he blessed little bits of food that a boy brought in his packed lunch and fed a multitude of people. Because Jesus obeyed God and did not give in to temptation, Jesus was able to do all of these things. And most importantly, Jesus was able to offer himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross. And we know this because the disciples of Jesus had to wait till the third day after his death on the cross before they met the risen Jesus. Jesus was alive again, in a body, appearing to them. Jesus, the Bible says, was completely God, but he was also completely human. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, by resisting the things that tempted him, by being obedient to God, his obedience led to our salvation. And Jesus, well, when we are tempted, as we are all the time, Jesus sympathizes us when we are tempted, because he knows what it's like to be tempted. And he shows us how to resist. And the fact that God met Jesus' need shows us that we too can trust in God, can hold on to God's word in the Bible, and we can resist temptations. So I hope if you're giving things up this Lent, that you're able to resist the temptation to go back to them before it's Easter. And then when it's Easter, you can really celebrate and give thanks to God for all his goodness to you. Let's make our offering now, really giving back to God, saying thank you, God, for this story from your word, and thank you for all the goodness that you give us, for helping us to resist temptations. And we give thanks by giving our offering. I think one of the important things that happened to Jesus during the time he was in the wilderness after his baptism was that he made himself a promise. And he promised that he would be faithful to God. You know, when people like me, when we are ordained to the ministry, we promise to teach God's word faithfully and to spend time praying and listening to God so that we can help others to pray and listen to God as well. When you get married, some of us are married, and we wear wedding rings, and the wedding rings are there to remind us of the promises that we have made, to remind us that we've promised to love someone else and to be faithful to them for our lifetime. So promises are important. And today we've got folks from the scout group and the guide group as well. And you are here and you are going to be making promises. And they're promises before God, but also promises to yourself and to the others in your different groups. And they're really important promises. And that's why you come and renew them here in church. And all the rest of us who are not part of your groups, we enjoy hearing you make these promises because they help us to remember the promises that we have made. So I'm going to invite you to come and renew your promises. Now, whose turn is it to go first? I can't remember. Is it scouts or is it guides?
Ladies
first. Okay. Although you have some ladies in the scouts now as well. So here we are.
Hey, Rachel, would you like to stand, please? Say your promise with me. I promise that I'll do my best to love my God and to be kind and helpful. Brownies, will you stand and make your brownie guide salute, please? And I want you to renew your promise along with me. I promise that I'll do my best to love my God, serve the King and my country, and help other people to keep their brownie guide well. Thank you. Guide senior section and leader, can you stand, please? The guide salute and say your promise along with me.
I promise that I'll do my best to love my God, to serve the King and my country, to help other people to keep their well.
Thank you. And then the turn of the scouts.
Say the promise together. On my honour, I promise that I will do my best to do my duty to God, to the Queen, to help other people, and to keep the spirit of all. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing these promises with us. It's good for us to hear promises being made that you mean to keep, and I know you will. And we're going to pray that God will help you to keep these promises over the coming weeks and months right now. So let's pray together.